Coming up next on the Bible Answer Man.
One day you will all see that we were right. One day you will fall on your knees before us because we will be God as God is God, which is what we believed. And I realize now as I say those words, what rank heresy. In essence, to include yourself in the Holy Trinity.
Let the answers begin, because it's time for the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. Today, we continue our time with Thomas Lapaca. Yesterday, we were right in the middle of a fascinating discussion about Mr. Lapaca's journey from darkness and deception to the reality of Jesus Christ in his life. And now, here's your host for the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
And I'm so delighted to be sitting here with Thomas Lapaca. I was just thinking as we're sitting here in studio, Tom, looking at one another and smiling and having a wonderful conversation that about 3 years before I met you, or maybe 2 years before I met you, if I would have walked by the campus of the Worldwide Church of God, you might have thrown a stone at me or something.
Well, we wouldn't have thrown a stone at you, but we would have been very careful with you because you would have disrupted our equilibrium if we had allowed you to talk to us.
Amazing. Just an amazing transformation that took place within not just the life of one person, but within the lives of the leadership of the Worldwide Church of God that has impacted
thousands.
So many people. I mentioned this throwing of stones because I remember some of the people of the Worldwide Church of God saying that they felt as though they were in a cave, and when anyone Orthodox would walk by, they wanted to throw stones at them.
Yes, again, you know, we believed that you were deceived by Satan, that you had forsaken the truth, that you actually never knew the truth, that we were the only ones that knew the truth, and it was our responsibility to protect it and to shut out people like yourself.
How hard, Thomas, was it for you to get to the place of honestly being able to say, I, Thomas Lapaca, was in a cult?
That was very difficult. That took, I would say, a couple of years. Because when you reach that point, Hank, where you say, I, Thomas Lapaca, or I, James Smith, or Bill Williams, I was in a cult, it begins to attack your own integrity. You begin to think, I was stupid. And here I was a college grad. I'd been in business, successful in business. And I had to admit, I was stupid. I was ignorant. And here I thought I was so enlightened, and yet I knew nothing. As I was mentioning off air, there was a progression in the ranks of the clergy in the Worldwide Church of God at that time, going from deacon to local elder to preaching elder to pastor to evangelist. I was a pastor.
Not only a pastor, but you were the pastor of the Pasadena congregation, the main congregation, the home congregation.
Absolutely. And then to wake up one morning, so to speak, and to realize I knew nothing. All that I thought I knew nothing. I needed someone to teach me. I was no longer worthy to teach anyone else. I had not only bought the farm, I had been selling the farm off in big chunks to a lot of people, deceiving other people, hurting other people's lives, foisting upon them the same error that had been put upon myself. It was a horrible, horrible experience for me. I was crushed. I was totally humbled, totally shattered.
Speak for a moment, Thomas, to an issue that I've addressed many times on the Bible Answer Man podcast, but it'd be interesting to hear your perspective. Today, even within the body of Christ, there are people who are saying, you know what, the Trinity isn't that important. Nobody really understands it anyway. Let's just all love in Jesus and get along. How important is the doctrine of the Trinity to you as a new believer, as someone who has come out of cultism to the cross?
The doctrine of the Trinity is extremely important to me. You know, first of all, it was that essential doctrine that I had denied. And in denying that, I did not understand God. By understanding the Trinity and accepting the Trinity, I began to understand who God is, expressed so eloquently in the Apostles' Creed. God the Creator, God the Father the Creator, God the Son, my Savior, God the Holy Spirit, my Sanctifier. And in just understanding that alone, I began to see how God works in my life to save me, to create me, to save me, and then to sanctify me to his glory.
So many doctrines that you once denied and now embrace. The worldwide Church of God taught that all saints become little gods.
Yes.
After the resurrection.
Yes, and of course that was our hope, the ultimate leg up, the ultimate justification of being in this small esoteric group, to be able to say, one day you will all see that we were right. One day you will fall on your knees before us because we will be God as God is God, which is what we believed. And I realize now as I say those words, what rank heresy to, in essence, to include yourself in the Holy Trinity. So that's what we believed. And then again, and that was one of the first doctrines that Joseph de Kotch Sr., major doctrines that he threw out the window.
You once taught as a pastor in the Worldwide Church of God that it was impossible that Christians could be born again prior to the resurrection.
Yes, yes. We taught that we were begotten and that the actual being born again was the process of the resurrection. Yeah, that was just, again, Hank, one of dozens of doctrines that we had wrong.
One of the doctrines that people can immediately recognize as something that has practical ramifications in the lives of real flesh and blood members of the Worldwide Church of God when it was a cult, now what we call Armstrongism, because there are a lot of splinter groups that are still involved in these teachings, was that you forbade your membership to consult medical doctors when sick.
Yes.
How did that work out in practical reality?
Well, in practical reality, those who were the faithful, and that was the majority at one time, when you were sick, you just trusted God. We believed that God had bound himself to a promise that if you have faith in him and trust in him, he will heal you. And God, in his mercy, not because of the doctrine we have, but in his mercy, he did heal many. But there were others that weren't healed. Now, the damnable thing about this all, this type of teaching, is that when you're not healed, you have to ask yourself the question, because it was put upon you by the ministry and your fellow believers, well, you must not have the faith. Mm-hmm. Because if you had faith, you would be healed. Now, of course, if you take it out to this logical extension, no one with faith would ever die. Mm-hmm. You would live forever in the flesh. But, of course, we did die. And there were these points of cognitive dissonance, mm-hmm. that we struggled with, believing opposing points of view, saying black is white and white is black, and assenting to both. And somehow we were able to do that.
How dangerous was the potential for a knee-jerk reaction when you came out of the Worldwide Church of God? I mean, you had a particular form of worship, which was fairly unemotional. All of a sudden you were in this liberty, this grace that you read about in Scripture. How dangerous was it for the pendulum to swing too far the other way?
It was not only dangerous, I think it happened. If you go back and you study the Reformation, the same thing happened in the Lutheran Reformation. There were those who said everything Catholic is bad and wrong, so they threw out all the statues, they threw out all the paintings. They whitewashed the buildings, they threw out the organs, they threw away the vestments. And Luther's response was, not everything is bad. Let's just identify those things that are wrong according to Scripture and get rid of those. But those, the other things, let's keep them. So there is, and it has been characteristic of Armstrongism in the past, that there is always this movement from one ditch to the other. And that did, initially, that was the... That was the way it was, as the church, without any kind of a roadmap, the leadership was looking to find the course upon which to run, and there were tendencies to overcompensate.
I'm talking to Thomas LaPaca. It's kind of great to look across at him and know that he's not only a friend, but a brother in Christ, and that we're going to spend eternity together. He wrote a great book, Out of the Shadows, Finding God's Truth in a World of Deception. For those who may not have tuned in yesterday, give us your motivation for writing this book.
Two great motivating factors. Number one, I just had to come clean. I had to I had to, in my own mind, write down and journal my experience as part of my healing process. It was for me. Secondly, my love for my fellow members and friends, brethren in the Worldwide Church of God, and those who had gone off in the many splinter groups, I knew that my story was essentially their story. I wanted them to look at it, to read it, to identify with it, and hopefully I would be able to say a few things that would help them find the same healing that I'd found.
One of the beauties of your life today is you recognize that being in a culture, sort of in this we-they siege mentality against the rest of the world, but that happens even in cult ministries where you see the cultist as the enemy, not as the one that you are called to reach for Christ. Address that issue.
Yeah, well, let me give you an example of what happened. I was at a prayer breakfast after all this change in the Worldwide Church of God, and the prayer breakfast was hosted by Jack Hayford. Pastor Hayford of Church on the Way, he got on the stage and he was leading us in prayer. He knelt down and in his prayer, talking about the Worldwide Church of God, he said, "Lord, forgive me for spending way too much time attacking and criticizing the Worldwide Church of God and other cults instead of praying that you would change them." And I think that happens many times in cult ministries, is more time is spent in attacking than praying. There needs to be an addressing of the issues, but there also needs to be this Christian love, this outreach, this hand of Christ through these people witnessing to those in the cult, saying, "I'm here to help you. I'm really your friend. I want to encourage you," and not looking at these folks as enemies, because people in a cult, people in the Worldwide Church of God and under Armstrong, they're people like you and me. They're people that believe, people that think they're part of this great, wonderful movement, part of the dawning of a new age, and they've committed their lives totally to this. Deceived as they are, they're still people just like you and me, people who need the cross, people who need to come to the light of God in Jesus Christ. They're not our enemies.
You're making the distinction between repelling someone and reaching someone with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
I still remember, sometimes with fear and trepidation, the time that you and Joseph Tkach and Greg Albrecht and Mike Frizzell came and met with me in my office. How different it might have been if I had not encouraged you back then.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there were those at that time, Hank, unlike yourself, who was and still are encouraging, there were those who were making these unreasonable demands. One such demand by one cult group was, or anti-cult group was, that all of the leaders of the Worldwide Church of God not only public repent, but also resign. Well, what is that going to do for those in the Worldwide Church of God when those who are their trusted leaders have now left them? Who's going to lead them? So that was the situation that Joseph Tkach and all of us found ourselves in. Now that we had come to the Christ and the light of the gospel, and repented and repudiated all these teachings, we're the only ones that people were going to listen to in the pews. We're the only ones that they had any trust in. And even that was sparing at times to lead them from where they were to Christ.
The whole story, it's a fascinating journey, the individual journey of Thomas Lapaca, his family, his wife Linda, children, coming out of cultism to the cross, and then the broader story of a whole cult being transformed by the grace of God and the commitment of its leadership. And, of course, the members that we have just talked about are now good friends of mine. Joseph Tkach Jr. is a good friend. Greg Albrecht, certainly you are. And to see what's happened in this ongoing journey has been not only fascinating, but edifying and encouraging. And it ought to be an impetus for all of us to redouble our efforts to reach those very people that we have been called to reach with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Out of the Shadows, Finding God's Truth in a World of Deception, available through the Christian Research Institute. When you write or call, There are operators standing by right now, but if you can't get through, keep calling 888-7000-CRI. Again, that number, 888-7000-CRI. Or, of course, you can get the book on the web at www.equip.org. Joseph Takach, Greg Albrecht, Thomas Lapaca, and others are examples of what the grace of God can do. Examples of people who are committed as the Holy Spirit leads them, and they've gone different directions, but they're committed to reach a mission field with the gospel. They're committed to one day standing before God and giving account of their life and hearing Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And above all, they are men who have an eternal perspective. They count their difficulties today as light and momentary troubles. As they look forward to eternity with Wesley, they can say, I desire to have heaven and hell ever in my eye as I live between those two great and boundless oceans on this tiny isthmus of life. We're going to take your calls when we come back from a break, so if you're hanging on, we'll get to you right after the break. Your questions next on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In the meantime, do call 888-7000-CRI or log on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Get a copy of Out of the Shadows by Thomas Lapaca, Finding God's Truth in a World of Deception. Be right back.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Today's conversation with Thomas Lapaca gives only the highlights of his remarkable journey from darkness and deception to the reality of Jesus Christ in his life. Find out more in Out of the Shadows, available from the Christian Research Institute. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. The Bible Answer Man will continue right after this. It has all the trappings of Orthodox Christianity, a statement of faith that appears legitimate, and a hope in the eternal. Yet a deeper look reveals a snare of spiritual fraud and mind control. Out of the Shadows by Thomas Lapaca is the autobiographical story of one man's slide into the abyss of deceptions, false prophecy, spiritual abuse, and subversion of the gospel. But Lapaca experienced a miraculous transformation as the worldwide Church of God owned up to its theological errors, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, he began a journey from the shadows of legalism into the full light of God's grace in Jesus Christ. Let the light of truth shine in your own life or in the life of someone you know. Order Out of the Shadows, available from CRI right now. Call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go to our website, www.equip.org.
By you and your example, you're one of the heroes of my faith.
I really appreciate your ministry. Thank you.
I appreciate your teaching that you present.
Every day, the Bible Answer Man broadcast is touching the lives of people around the world with solid biblical answers from God's Word. That's why your partnership with us is so critical. Become a Bible Answer Man monthly radio support team member. Your commitment to make a monthly gift helps to keep the Bible Answer Man broadcast on the air. As a Bible Answer Man support team member, you maximize the reach and influence of the Bible Answer Man broadcast around the world. As our way of saying thank you, you'll receive a copy of Hank's powerful book, Christianity in Crisis. You'll also receive a free one-year subscription to the Christian Research Journal. Call toll-free 888-7000-CRI today and say you'll become a Bible Answer Man support team member. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can even sign up over the internet at www.equip.org.
God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food.
Come on, God, let me win the lottery.
God, are you listening to me?
Is God listening to your prayers, or are they just bouncing off the ceiling, never entering God's presence? Deepen your fellowship with God with The Prayer of Jesus, the latest work from Hank Hanegraaff. Hank points out that prayer is more than just a wish list. It's the lifeblood and foundation of our relationship with God. Hank uses the Lord's Prayer as the basis to attain real intimacy with God. After all, it came from the Lord Himself. The Prayer of Jesus, the latest work by Hank Hanegraaff, is being made available to you as a thank you for your gift to the work and ministry of the Christian Research Institute today. Available on book, audio cassette, or CD. Call CRI right now and begin a newer, deeper closeness with God. 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. It's also on our website at www.equip.org.
We're back with more of the conversation with Hank and Thomas Lapaca. If you have questions about materials, please call our resource line at 888-7000-CRI. Now, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
And I'm delighted to have Thomas Lapaca with me today. I think of him as an Israelite in whom there is no guile. Wrote a wonderful book, Out of the Shadows, Finding God's Truth in a World of Deception. One of the things that so wonderful about this book is it is vulnerable. It kind of tells it like it is. He is not trying to make a hero out of himself, but it's telling the real story of someone who admits that they fell for a cult and has come out of that not with some kind of a vengeful attitude, but with a very humble attitude, an attitude of saying, what can I do now to be used by the Holy Spirit to touch the lives of people for time and for eternity? Out of the Shadows, Finding God's Truth in a World of Deception by Thomas Lapaca, my in-studio guest, available when you dial 888-7000-CRI or log into the World Wide Web at equip.org. A lot of people want to get through and talk to Thomas. So we're going to go back to the phone lines, talk to Rick in Chino Hills, California. You're on with Tom Lapaca.
Hi, Rick.
Hello, folks. Listen, Mr. Hanegraaff, Mr. Lapaca, it is a distinct honor to talk with you. It really and truly is. I'm calling you today with just an extremely heavy heart. I own a sales and marketing firm, and just about 100% of our revenues comes from a office furniture manufacturer that's based in Phoenix, Arizona, and the owner of that factory is so steeped in Armstrongism, and you know the man is such a moral guy, and I understand that does not save us, but my question to you is twofold. Number one, how do I begin to break through to this gentleman? And number two, why doesn't he ever try to win me to his faith? I've noticed he is not an aggressor. He just sits back. He never says a word. But at the same time, he observes all the feasts and he closes the factory and we all lose money. And it's just amazing. It's just what a maze. He calls it the, you know, maze of Mormonism. Only they're not Mormons. So, how do I begin? What is the best effective way to do it?
Well, let me begin, Rick, with your second part, and that is Herbert Armstrong taught us when I was there that our greatest witness was the lives that we led. It wasn't right. The arguments that we had. So it doesn't surprise me that this gentleman is not trying to win you over with arguments. It's a lifestyle type of evangelism that's practiced. The other thing, you know, how do I reach this individual? Essentially, you know, I come back to the same comment that I've made a few times here. We have to earn that right, and you earn that right by becoming.
I feel I've earned it.
by being a friend. Yes. And not trying to win arguments, win theological debates, but when religious or spiritual or questions of faith come up, to ask those poignant questions that are, you know, seed planting opportunities to sow the seed of doubt, to get the person to question further. That's what worked with me.
Yeah, and one of the things, too, Rick, which is really interesting, and Thomas was talking about this in a previous broadcast, but people involved in the Worldwide Church of God suffer from what Joseph Tkach Jr. once called cognitive dissonance. In other words, they have the capacity to believe two mutually exclusive things at the same time without seeing that you can't be consistent and hold these mutually exclusive supposed truths. And when that's pointed out, that does cause what Thomas is talking about, the seeds of doubt.
Yes. Let me give you an example, Rick. Herbert Armstrong would say, I am not a prophet. I am not a prophet. And then almost in the next breath, he would say, I've come in the spirit of Elijah.
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
So, you know, when something like that comes up, you know, a well-placed question is, well, which is it?
Yeah, amen, exactly.
Rick, we pray that your witness will be used.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you know, let me send you a copy of Out of the Shadows. I think it'd be helpful as you... You're used in this process.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, gosh, again, what an honor. I'm just, Hank, I've listened to you for years, and just an honor to speak with you today. It really is. Thank
God bless you, my friend. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Tom in Washington, Pennsylvania. Hi, Tom.
Greetings. This is a voice from your past, Tom, and greetings to you, Hank Handegraff.
Hello, Tom.
We were dorm mates, I guess it was, back in 67 or 68. And I'm excited to hear about your book and look forward to getting a copy and reading that.
Thank you.
My question is, I'm currently still pastoring several congregations for the Worldwide Church of God. And I think from yesterday and then hearing again today some of your answers, I have a better understanding on this. But what is your recommendation for a current pastor who I fully accept and embrace the current changes? I, like you, was raised Southern Baptist down in Virginia, was baptized at age 9, and then at age 18 was rebaptized, even though I had accepted Jesus in my life, but came to what I thought was a better understanding of the Christ and the Lord. Of course, we kind of dropped the term Jesus for a number of years. But I feel very comfortable in my role now, and do you see any cognitive dissonance, or whatever you want to call that we've referred to, which certainly existed, you know, that God knew everything, but in the next sentence we would say God is always learning.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Couldn't be both. Yeah. But some of those I just put on a shelf, a spiritual shelf, because even when I was baptized at age 18, I remember so well that I was baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I used to wonder why we made such a big deal against the Trinity, because I had been raised that was the Trinity.
Yes.
I was always glad as a church pastor later when I became one that I was never really challenged on that, because I would have had to just say, I don't know. But my question then goes back, how do you feel towards current pastors in the Worldwide Church of God?
Well, Tom, it's good to hear from you again. I do remember you, and I remember your wife, and I remember you particularly from our time together in Big Sandy, Texas.
Right.
I say, Tom, you have a wonderful opportunity. You're in a Christian church. I would not, on your part, I would not apologize for that. You have an opportunity to move beyond the breastfeeding that took place for several years, and to make sure that those people that have been entrusted to you, this flock, whatever size of flock that you have, that they are firmly grounded in the historic Christian faith, that their eyes are firmly fixed to Jesus Christ, and that Sabbath rest that you and I,
yes,
and all of us sought by keeping the Sabbath and keeping the holy days, those in your charge, these sheep that you have been given to care for, that they come to fully believe and understand and trust that Jesus indeed is their rest, that they have found their Sabbath in Him.
That's what I teach, what the others who are teaching side by side with me are teaching, that He indeed is our rest, that we can break the Sabbath any day of the week now if we fly in Jesus' face. So